we're missing a substitute today. Do you mind substituting a class? I said on one condition, if I could bring in my guitar. So I walk into the class. Kids were ripping up pieces of paper and throwing it at me. Hey, I'm a substitute. Can I take out my guitar? Yeah. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I said, one time. And everyone slowly like sits in their seats. Wow, this is powerful. And then like that night, one of the boys' mothers calls me up. They never had a substitute like this ever. And then a job opening for a rabbi. And my wife said, I think this is your thing. No, it's not. She says, I think it's your thing. You got to listen to your wife because they know better. It's not what you're going to teach. It's what they're going to learn. The whole class met me in the hallway and they sang the song that I composed. I said, wow, I think this is like my field.
Baruchim Abayim, and welcome to Torah Talks Chazak's Tuesday night program with a special guest. And we have with us tonight, all the way from Lakewood, New Jersey, Rabbi Eli Scheller. Shalom Aleichem. Wow.
Shalom Aleichem.
So exciting to have the rabbi on the program.
Thank you. Thank you. I've always seen your stuff and heard about you, and it's...
I hope the good stuff.
Only good stuff. Baruch Hashem. You guys are just, you know, pop-out programs, Baruch and Hashem. It's just...
Yagdil Torah,
put the energy into the Jewish people.
So we want to hear a little background about the rabbi and the good work you're involved with.
My background is I'm an FFB from Brooklyn. So I grew up in Brooklyn. I went to many different yeshivas. Every few years I went to a different one.
Is that because you got kicked out or because
it didn't work out, you know? They weren't a fit for me,
That gives a lot of chizik, I want you to know, a lot of inspiration, because I deal with a lot of people, and many times it doesn't work out in certain places. So you could still come out to be a Rabbi Eli Scheller.
Yeah, you know what? And I gained so much from that. So many different things. Just the fact that I had to bounce around, you have to get used to a brand new school very quickly. And in life just keeps throwing you into different places.
I'll tell you one thing. One friend of mine that unfortunately had to go jump from one place to the next, he said it was the best thing that happened to him. I'm like, why? He's like, because the business he's involved with has to do a lot with contacts. He's like, I have so many new contacts because every year I was in a different school. That means so many classmates and
totally
so many friends.
Same here. I meet people all the time. Like, I know you from this yeshiva. I know you're from there. I know you're from there. So yeah,
okay,
a lot
but
of
it's
benefits.
Not encouraging people to jump around. But this
no,
is...
well, life will put you in different places anyway. You know?
Exactly, that's true.
But if you happen to get pushed into different places, just know it's a blessing.
Everything's from Hashem.
Yeah.
Call it to everything's for the best. So you're FFB from Brooklyn?
From Brooklyn, and school was never my thing. Sitting down in a seat by a desk was never my thing. Recess was the only thing I looked forward to. So schooling was pretty difficult for me. But somehow I managed through school or not managed. And eventually when I was 17, I went to Israel. My father said, you know what? Why don't you just try Israel and maybe some magic could happen over there.
It's so, Kodesh.
Yeah. So eventually I just got to a good yeshiva, Shari Tfuna, Rebellion 11. You know him at all?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, a small yeshiva. And there's where I finally like got a connection. He connected to me. The first rabbi that ever like connected to me. And I started learning, and once I started learning, I loved it. I never learned as a kid. I was deprived of wisdom as a kid. I never got anything. My highest level of reading was Curious George and the Berenstain Bears. Going on a family vacation. That was my highest level. So I never had any wisdom, and if you're not full with wisdom, then you're just into snacking and every other pleasure that life has to offer. But it's a shame because wisdom really lights up your body. So once I finally started learning, I began giving it over, and it became my mission to now give it over, because many times like you hear things from adults and like you don't understand what they're saying, and could be the adult maybe doesn't understand it so much. But if you know it very clear, then you could explain it to anybody. You can break things down in enough steps that a 3-year-old could understand it. And like that's like my biggest pleasure, when I could take a hard concept and just
break it down.
Yeah, like I'll talk in like say a school, there's a few hundred kids, and and I'll say something and there's like a 5-year-old girl raising her hand, like, what does that mean? And like, I got this, and I'll break it down for her that she gets it. So it became my mission to give over. Like, once I started learning literally at 19 and I was on fire. Like, I was learning like Maseel C. Sharm. I remember the first time learning it. It was amazing. And I just always had like someone that was weaker than me that I would give it over to. And eventually when I got married, I was in Rabbi Berkowitz's Kollel, Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz.
Of course.
So I was involved with teens a little bit before I came to Rabbi Berkowitz's Kollel. And they asked me if I would do a thing Thursday night with them, like guitar, and I play guitar and some chant, and I had a rooftop. So I said, let's do it. But I did it 1 week, and there was a neighbor came in his pajamas, and it was because we did it Thursday night, like 10 o'clock, and they would sing. It was very nice. So I had a neighbor that came in his pajamas, and he said, "Ze lofer, my wife, she can't sleep, and you got to stop this immediately." And I felt terrible, because especially Roy Berkowitz, he teaches Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is the most important thing. So I felt terrible. I said, sorry, let's stop it. So I told Roy Berkowitz, and I said, you know, a guy came, and I'm thinking of stopping this program. He said, absolutely, don't stop it. I said, what do you mean? But like, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, he said, no, this program is important. He's like, if he wants it to stop, then tell him, okay, I'll stop it, but then you'll take the boys and you'll run the program for them. but someone has to do something for these boys. Because otherwise, it was Thursday night, they would go to town and do who knows what. So he said it's very important to do it. So I continued every Thursday night and inspired these boys. And it was, you know, we did it for a few years. Guys really grew from that. Just like went till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And then I was in Rabbi Berkowitz's Kollel for like 4 years. And then from there, he sends people around the world to do community outreach, just like Rabbi Meirav is doing.
I must tell you, there's so many rabbis that we had on Torah Talks, and so many of them I could just remember. They're always telling me how they went to Rabbi Berkowitz.
Really?
The Jerusalem Kollel?
JK, yeah. Jerusalem Kollel.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that place, like Rabbi Berkowitz, he just gave me like my whole what's called hashkafa, like outlook in life. I never had a Rebbe that I just was connected to. When I first went to his Kollel, like as a kid, I think what I suffered from, besides being wisdom deprived, I had a very low self-esteem because I got kicked out from so many different places and I was a loser. I didn't have friends. My parents would always scream at me for getting kicked out, and the Rabbein would scream at me for not doing my work. So I was just from all sides. And I always felt inside that I was great. And that's why Michael Jordan and basketball always spoke to me. I always thought that, like, I want to be in the NBA. I'll have 30,000 people cheering for me. And inside, I felt that's me. I could be Michael Jordan. So I got a basket in my backyard, and I practiced religiously his moves.
As a child.
Yeah, I'm going back now. When I was a child, I practiced his moves and stuff like that.
I told him the Jerusalem Kollel.
No, I'm going back in time because... Once I went to Rabbi Berkowitz's Kollel, his big thing was you're great.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Jewish person. You're born with greatness. And that just spoke to me. Like, you don't have to be Michael Jordan. Like, you are great. You are great. And that's just like, it resonated with me. So in that Kollel, he just kept speaking about the greatness of a Jew, and you're great and you can accomplish anything. So that really spoke to me. So I was there for 4 years, and from there, I got like 2 job offers. One was in Columbus, Ohio, and one was in Los Angeles, California. So I remember I said, okay, let me speak to Rabbi Berkowitz, see what he says. So I knock on his door. He's a very hard person to get a hold of. And
I can attest to that.
Yeah. So I knock on his door, and he's on the phone. So he answers the door, and he's like, I said, oh, I have 2 jobs, like Columbus, Los Angeles. He's like, Los Angeles. And that was it. And I booked tickets for my whole family, and boom, we went straight from Sanhedrin Merchevet, which is like on the top of the world, you know, in terms of like Columbus. Religiously,
holy.
To West Hollywood. It was like straight from there to there. So that was like a big jump. But that was amazing. I was with LAJ, Alex Landa. I don't know if you heard about him, but a great organization in Los Angeles. And I worked with non-from people to inspire them about learning. Because I myself felt like a Baal Tshuva a little bit, because I didn't learn so much when I was younger. And I was on fire. I'm like, this is like, this is the secret to everything. This is it. So I did that for like a little over a year. Then I went to Baltimore, where I did got involved with like college campus and cure like that. And then I felt that, you know, something like, I feel like I could be greater. I could be connecting more.
You could do more.
Okay. I could do more. And I felt that the end of the day, I'm not a BT. And I just felt like I couldn't connect 1,000% with the students. You get that?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, listen, I was raised my whole life. I was keeping Shabbos. Like, there's a little bit of a limit of how much I can, let's say, push someone to start keeping Shabbos. If I, you know, you understand?
100%.
So I took a year off. I said, you know what? I just need time to think. I took a year off, and I didn't have any money at that time because I wasn't working. But I said, listen.
This is in Baltimore?
This is in Baltimore. And I said, listen, I want to do in life what my... I looked around people, and I saw two different types of adults. One type of adult was like on fire and like, let's do this. Here we go. And just like energized. And the other types were like, you know, we're surviving. We're getting through this. Oh, it's so cold outside. And I looked around and I said, like, it looks like some people are doing what they love and some people are just doing what they have to be doing. And I said, I want to be the first type.
Doing what you love is so
just important. Doing. Yeah. Just doing what I love doing. I want to wake up every day just excited that I'm doing what I love doing. Up until now, I mean, I was doing what I love doing, but I hit like a block that I felt like I was status quo and I wasn't going up.
Got to always be climbing.
Yeah.
Always
going up. Because kids are always happy because they're always growing. So as adults, you got to just keep growing till you're 119 and 364 days. So I took a year off and I just, I said, you know what? Right now, like, what do I love more than anything else? I love music. So I just like took my guitar and I started practicing every day. My uncle is very musical. So I sat down with him for an hour every day. He taught me guitar. Then I said, you know what? I want to enhance my voice. I always want to be a singer. So I said, okay, who's the best voice teacher in the tri-state area? I found a guy in Lakewood. Wow. So I drove into Lakewood once a month. And then I took ear training lessons. Then I took drum lessons. And I just took a ton of lessons that year. And then eventually it led me into, I didn't have any money at the time. I was going into debt. But I was, a guy once comes over to me and he says, listen, my son, he's in sixth grade. He's getting kicked out of class every day. And I just need someone to like be his Rebbe in the morning. Would you learn with him? I said, wow, like I'm not interested, but that's me. Like that was me in sixth grade. Wow. How could I say no if I could help him? So I said, okay. So I sat down with him in the morning and I would learn with him. And I was really able to like make serious changes in this boy. Like people told me he doesn't know how to write and he's dyslexic. And I sat down with him one day and I said, his name is Yossi. And I said, okay, Yossi, if I'm going to give you $1,000 right now to write beautifully, let me see you do it. So he's like, okay. And he's like, I said, no, Yossi, $1,000. If you write the nicest line, how are you going to do it? So he's like, okay. And he writes it. And literally I had tears in my eyes. Wow. I said, did you realize that you could write like this? He said, yeah, I know I could. I'm like, do you know no one else thinks that you could? No one thinks that you're a fool and you can't write better than a retarded person. And I saw I was able to really
penetrate.
Yeah, like connect him on a deep level. So one day when I was learning with him, the English principal comes over to me who I knew. He said, we're missing a substitute today. A teacher's out. Do you mind substituting a class? I said, nah, it's not even on the list. It's not even on my list. Like, that's not something I want to do. He said, come on, please. We don't have anybody. I said, on one condition, if I could bring in my guitar. He said, listen, it was never done, but okay, so do it. So I walk into the class and without exaggerating, kids were ripping up pieces of paper and throwing it at me like, hey, I'm a substitute, so it's a green light. Just do whatever you want to me. So I just waited till like, you know, the voice level dropped a little bit. I said, boys, can I take out my guitar? And everyone says like, yeah. So I took out my guitar and I was just like waiting. They're still like standing up, standing on desks. And I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I said, one time, this guy, Yankel, he's walking down the street. And everyone slowly like sits in their seats and they're just listening. And I said, wow, this is powerful. So I just kept on going. And like, I did that for like an hour and like, that's it. Like,
I made up a story.
I mean, once I started going with it, then I, you know, I weaved into other areas. And then, like, that night, one of the boy's mothers calls me up and she says, they never had a substitute like this ever. She said, would you be willing to make a summer camp for these boys?
Wow.
I said, no. Like, that's not something I'm looking to do.
That's not on my list.
Yeah. It's not even last on my list. So she says, how about I'll get you all the kids? You tell me exactly how many kids you want. I'll get you all the kids. So I spoke it over with my wife. She said, okay, I think it's a good idea. I said, you know what? I'll have a 15 passenger, so I'll have 14 boys. So she got me 14 kids. And I called it Camp Chatoif because I composed the song that year called Chatoif. And
I thought you were going to say Chazak. I'm like, I'm so excited. But
Chatoif. And it was, you know, I did that summer. It was like 3-4 weeks and it was amazing. It worked out very well. Like I was able to connect to like every single kid.
And you're bringing the guitar in every day?
Yeah, yeah. It was a little very musical. That was a big component of it. And then a job opening opened for like a fifth grade in Baltimore for a Rebbe. And my wife said, I think this is your thing. I said, no, it's not. She says, I think it's your thing. And you got to listen to your wife because they know better. So I said, okay. So there were 15 people competing for this position. And I didn't want the position really. But I said, I'm going to give it all I got. So I went to the class and I taught them a certain topic. I gave a model lesson. And I made a song to summarize everything that I did. So I gave the class, and the principal, he still didn't feel it yet. He didn't feel it. He said, you know what, come back for a second model lesson. So this time I did, like, real research. I wanted to get that win, even though I don't want the job necessarily, but I want to get that win. So I called, like, one of the top educators. His name is Rev Binyamin. He has, like, a lot of sfarim how to teach. I forgot his last name at the moment. Sorry about that. He has a lot of books, and I read a lot of his stuff. And just something that I read that really, like, struck a chord with me, it said, it's not what you're going to teach, it's what they're going to learn. Meaning, I thought, like, okay, I got to give my most powerful class. No, no, no. What are they walking out with today? Because that was a game changer for me.
100%.
So the next
class. That we're giving over, it's what they're going to be
teaching. Yeah, yeah. Okay, what are they, Lamaisa, what are they walking out with today? So I gave over the next. So when I came for the next class, the whole class met me in the hallway. And they sang the song that I composed. I said, wow, I think this is like my field because I'm really connecting to them. I give the next class, they gave me the job.
Wow.
And then the rest is history. I was in fifth grade in TA in Baltimore for 4 years. And I did like just a lot of different things. I taught them skills and Scholas Gemara, Scholas Mishnah. So I just did a lot of things with kids. And I made sleepaway camps for kids and a trip to Israel for kids. And then I said, you know what, let's take it to the next level because I don't like status quo. As we said, like you always have to, I'm the type, like jumping into the ocean and then figuring out how to swim.
I like it.
So then I went to Lakewood and then Baruch Hashem in Lakewood, I was able to reach a lot more kids than Lakewood.
As a Rebbe or?
No, no. So I wasn't in the classroom anymore. I was too constrained. Restricted. Yeah, restricted in the classroom. But I have a job in like a shul to work with a lot of kids as part of a shul. And then also I made my own programs to work with a lot of kids. And then now my status quo was, this is like the past 3.5 years. So the end of last year, I said, okay, I think I already hit a lot of kids in Lakewood. Next, what's next? So I said, now I want to travel the country.
Wow.
And Baruch Hashem, this year, what I'm doing is like every other week, I'm traveling around to a different city I do stories. That's how I connect to kids and music a little bit also, but mainly like storytelling and inspiration through that.
Everybody loves stories. And in Parshas Yisroel, Moshe, it says that the Torah says, Vaisaper, and he told over to Yisroel through a story about what happened to the Jewish people. So the importance of stories. So I see the rabbis very into kids and into stories. If you could maybe tell us, maybe one of your favorite stories.
Okay.
Something that comes to mind.
Okay. Something that comes to mind is one time, fifth grade boy. His name was Shalom. And Shalom had what they called ADHD, which stands for attention deficit. Hey, donuts! So he couldn't focus in class. Everything the Rebbe said sounded like Chinese, Japanese, and Aramaic. Nothing was going in. But he liked one thing more than anything else, basketball. So whenever the Rebbe started talking, boom, his mind automatically wandered to basketball and his favorite basketball players. And around his bed, he had basketball players. His favorite basketball player was Michael Jordan.
Again?
Yeah, yeah. That was his favorite basketball player. So around his bed, he had pictures of this basketball player, Michael Jordan, and he had T-shirts of Michael Jordan. And he never saw Michael Jordan play and have a way of seeing him play, but he had basketball cards of Michael Jordan. And, you know, that's how he knew about him. And something about Michael Jordan inspired him to be great. So one day his father comes over to him because he was bringing home 30s and 40s on his tests and he wasn't inspired in school. His father was a businessman. He said, okay, how about if I take you to a Michael Jordan game? And the boy says, oh, for sure. Like, okay, let's do it. His father said, not so fast. If you get a 90 on every test for 6 months in a row, I'll take you to Michael Jordan game. So Shalom said, let's do it. His father said, maybe think about it for 2-3 days because you never got a 90 yet. He said, no, I'm going to the game. His father said, okay. So the next day, Shalom goes to school. He comes with his notepad 5 minutes early, and he's waiting for the Rebbe to start. And the Rebbe starts the class, and automatically Shalom's mind goes, Michael Jordan to the three-point line, puts up the shot. It's good. And the Chicago Bulls. He's like, oh, no, we're in the middle of class, and he's trying to focus, but nothing is going in. He can't get anything. Day finishes, and he got nothing. He said, but I'm going to the game. I'm going to the game. So after school, he calls one of the best kids in the class and he says, please, what did Rebbe do today? Give me a summary. What did Rebbe do? He said, okay, like we did these three Rashis on these two Psukim. He said, okay, thank you so much. He did it with his father. He got it. The next day he goes back to school. He couldn't focus, but he called the best kids after class. But Sunday night, his knees were shaking. His palms were sweaty. Test was Monday morning. What's he going to do? So he called the best kids in the class. He said, okay, what's Rebbe going to ask on the test? So one of the boys says, definitely like Pasuk Beis, that Rashi. Rebbe said that like 10 times. Definitely asking that. Do know this line of Gemara very well. That's probably going to be on the test. And he takes his test extra long and he gets it back. Bum, ba da dum, 91.
Wow.
So he shows it to his father and his father says, great job. Another 5 months and 3 weeks to go. He said, oh, come on. I worked so hard on that. But his father was very straightforward business, you know, 6 months is 6 months. So he goes back to school and he tries focusing, but he does his thing. He calls the best kids after class. He worked hard. He worked very hard in his own way. So next test, 92, 95, wow. 92, 91, 87. He says 87 is almost 90. So he shows it to his father. His father says, deals off. He says, oh, come on. I'm going to see Michael Jordan. I'm going to see Michael Jordan. He looks over his test. Question 5, part B, wasn't answered, wasn't marked. He shows his Rebbe. His Rebbe says, I can't believe I missed that plus 4. 91. So he's 5 months in, and his father says to him one night, and his Shalom says, deals off? His father says, no. There's a big concert the same night as the Michael Jordan game, which is going to be in Madison Square Gardens, in Nassau Coliseum, which is next door. There's a big concert, Ohel concert. Some of your favorite singers will be by this concert. Do you want to go to the concert instead? He said, no, I want to see Michael Jordan. That's my role model. That's what I want to see. His father said, okay, finish the deal and I'll take you. So the next 4 tests, he worked hard just as if it was the first test. 95, 90, 92, 99. Ooh, boom, boom, boom. Wow. He got it. His father says, okay, now it's my turn to deliver. So it was March 8th, 1998. And his father comes home from work that day and they take the train to Manhattan and Shalom can't believe it. His dream is about to come true before his eyes. He gets out in Times Square and just all the lights, a sensory overload. They get tickets and they come into the stadium. He could see the court and his heart is pounding. He sees the basketball players. His role model is right here. And he walks in, gives in his ticket to the ticket guy and he runs in and the guy says, hey, get back here. And he says, what's the matter? Excuse me, sir. Get back over here. Your ticket is fake. Ooh. He says, what are you talking about? He said, sir, tickets for this game were sold out 6 months ago. He said, we just bought it right outside. 2 tickets, $100. The guy said, sir, the guy sold you fake tickets. Please exit the stadium, the arena. And Shalom couldn't believe it. He was this close to touching his dream. And his father felt horrible. He said, you know what? I'll take you to a restaurant. We'll watch the game in a restaurant. And Shalom said, no, I wanted to see Michael Jordan. That's why I worked so hard. I just want to go back home. So his father and Shalom go back on the train, back the way they came, back to his house, crawls into bed, and he cries himself to sleep. And I know the story is true. because my middle name is Shalom. My name is Eliyahu Shalom, and I was crushed. I didn't see my role model, my dream player, Michael Jordan. I never got to see him. And kids right away asked me, like, oh, didn't your father do anything else for you? Like, how could he just leave you off like that? And I said, you know what? I did ask my father if he wants to help me meet Michael Jordan, but I don't really care so much anymore. It's not a big deal for me. I did get a relationship with my father after that, like over the years, which is much more valuable than anything that you can really get. I have a very close relationship with my father. But what I did realize from this is a few things. One of them I still use literally till today. Like literally today, I use the same thing that happened back then. And this is, I try to really teach this to kids, which is, and adults, which is that how did Shalom, or me, get those 90s on his test? I never got a 90. I never knew what a 90 looked like. I had a dream. I had a dream that I saw so clearly in my head. I'm going to go to Madison Square Gardens. I'm going to see Michael Jordan. I'll do anything in the world to do that. I'll run 20 miles to see him. And when you have a dream, it's like a magnet. It pulls you forward. So if you could dream of something and picture in your head, you can do what you never thought was possible to get to that. Wow. So till today, literally, like the end of last year, I was dreaming. I said, I want to start traveling the country. That's what I want to be doing. And I envisioned it. Picture myself on the airplanes just flying around. And Baruch Hashem, like Hashem just helped me get into that direction.
So,
totally.
And the result is with the thinking, with the mind, having it in 100%, mind.
100%.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. You got like someone said, like, a building is finished before it started. What does it mean? Like, in the architect's mind, before they start building it, the building is finished. They see the whole building. Now it's time to build it. So
visualization. So important. Yeah. Wow.
You make things happen. So be a dreamer. I was lucky because I had a lot of time in class to dream. but you can dream many times. Be a dreamer and grow every day, and those dreams will happen. You can make anything happen.
Wow. Very, very inspiring. A question, Rabbi Schaller. So with what I understand, a lot of kids are following the rabbi and loving the stories and one time and all that excitement. What chizuk could you give to a kid that might be in your scenario, or chizuk inspiration for a kid that's not in your scenario to keep it going and to stay positive?
Okay. So one thing is, if the kid is, let's say, not succeeding in school like some other kids, right? Let's say he's not the top of the class and he's not succeeding. Every kid is unique and is a gem and is great. Every kid. If you're not succeeding in class, don't think for a second that you're not successful and great, because there's so many different places where you can be successful. School is not really meant to bring out everyone's unique talents. It hits some kids, but know that if you're the one that's jumping out of your seat, you're probably the next inventor of Tesla or something like that. You have something that's huge in you that can't be contained in a seat with a buckle. You have something huge that you're going to contribute to this world for the Jewish people. It'll be a shame if you think that you can't do anything, and we'll lose out on having you do that. So don't think for a second that you're no good. Your skills, your unique talents are just not coming out yet. But there'll be a time that you will shine like nobody else.
It's like Rav Avad Yosef says, that little kid, but big neshama. So the neshama is like trying to, that's why.
Trying to pop out. Yeah, totally. And that's like many kids that struggle and they go through difficult challenges. It's only because they have a big neshama that's just not satisfied. They're not getting what they feel they could be getting. I feel I'm great, and my life is so dull. It's so boring. It's not coming out. So you have to just drown it out with other things.
100%. And chizuk inspiration for parents that might be watching or listening.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult, you know, as much as you're saying, yes, 100%, they're going to become great one day, it's going to be amazing, but today, they're getting the report card.
No, okay, yeah. So, well, if you know that, you know, the report card is not like, it doesn't mean everything from them. You know, my kids also, some are excellent in school and some are not at all.
But they have to do ishtalis. They must put their efforts.
Yeah, but you have to make every kid feel successful, and therefore try to find it's not so hard usually. What your son loves and he's great at, and help them excel in that area. Like my son over here, like he loves, let's say, cooking food or taking care of people. I have him run all the youth groups for the shul. Wow. He'll be in charge of 200 kids, making sure every kid gets what they need. And we'll go shopping for Simchas Torah and we'll buy hundreds of bags of snacks for other kids. And my kids love this and they feel like a star because they're really doing things at a high level. They're not necessarily great in school, but okay, like I'm not great in Chinese either. You know, the best kid in the class, does he know how to make a car? No, but he's the best kid in the class. But because we're in school the whole day and this is everything, so it's like, okay, best kid in the class, he's just the best. And the worst kid in the class is the worst. No, there's no such thing as the best kid, the worst kid. We're all the best. And as a parent, I think it's the parent's job to show the kid where their unique skill is. Like, look how amazing you are at drawing. Look at that. Like, and get true. Them some drawing lessons after school to keep excelling in that. Because once a kid reaches...
Success breeds success. Yeah. Once you're success, you're going to keep being successful.
Then that's it. That yeah. Powerful. So as long as the kid is failing his report card, but give him success in a different area. And once he has that, he'll be a successful kid.
Amazing, Rabbi Scheller. So we're in the month of Adar. Mishinechna is Adar, Marbe, Mitzimcha. We have to increase in happiness. I don't know if this is Rabbi's forte or not, but your favorite joke.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, it's definitely, I love sharing jokes with kids because there's also chachma. To get like a good joke and that's funny, that's kosher, and there's a chachma behind it. So there was these two counselors that were applying for a sleepaway camp, Nochum and Zevi. The head counselor liked to ask out of that box questions just to think, just to see how the counselors would think. So he calls in the first counselor, Nachum. Nachum comes in and the head counselor says, okay, Nachum, what's the exact position of the sun? So Nachum said, it's not an exact place. Like every day it's in a different location, different spot. He said, okay. Next question. What's the current deficit of the United States government? How much money do they owe to other countries? So Nachum says, I think it's $3 trillion. He said, okay. Question number three. There's a famous criminal that escaped Mexico and is hiding in the United States. What's his current situation? So he says, the president is investigating with a special team of people. He says, okay. I like the way you think. Excellent. Please call on your friend Zevi, but don't tell him any questions, because I like to ask the same exact question to every staff member. He says, okay. So Nachum calls in, Zevi, come in. Zevi says, what was the questions? Nachum says, I'm sorry, I can't say. Come on, what was the questions? I'll let you use my scooter. I'm sorry, I can't say. So he says, okay, what was the answers? He says, oh, okay. Head counselor never said I can't say that. So he says, oh, the answer to number one. Second question, third question, tells him the answers. So Zevi is focusing on the answers. Number one, answer number two, answer number three. He's memorizing. He comes into his interview, gives in his application, and he's focusing on the answers. Head counsel looks at the application. He says, whoa, one second. This is not even filled out completely. Before we even start the interview, what are the answers? You didn't answer all the questions. So Zevi is focusing on the answers. He says, okay, question number one, what's your address? And Zevi says, I got this. It's not an exact place. Every day it's in a different location. So head counselor says, what does that mean? He says, okay, next thing, what's your number? He says, $3 trillion. Head counselor puts down the paper. He says, excuse me, are you out of your mind? He says, the president is currently investigating it with a special team of people.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Amazing, Rabbi Scheller. So we have a minhag, a custom, a final message on Torah Talks. We enjoyed so much of the insights and chizuk and inspiration in the story and the joke.
Wow. Okay. The final message I'll share, what I gained from my Rebbe, is and that I was yearning for my whole life, that as Jews, we all feel that we are great. We feel that we're special, and it's true. We are special, but it's important to make that come out in a real way, to use your unique talents as opposed to telling everyone how special you are and trying to impress everyone with your nice car and other nice possessions that you are special. It's true, you are special, but it's because there's something deep inside of you could just shine forth and do something great. So every day, just try to get better. try to work on yourself every day. Like, try to double your skills every day. How can I grow today? How can I grow today? And
no status quo.
No status quo. And I think that's like the secret. I mean, I know it. It's a secret to happiness and to energy. When you're growing, then life is exciting. Like, if I could do today what I never did yesterday, I'm on fire. And that is, you keep growing every day. And think of kids. Two-year-olds are constantly happy. Yes, they're gonna cry just because they want that wafer. But as soon as they get that wafer, they're naturally happy. When my kids come down to play, they run down the steps 6:30 in the morning. What are they running to? To play with magnetiles and to make the same thing, right? Because they're gonna make something new today. So keep growing every day. How can I be better today? Listen to podcasts. Listen to Torah Talks podcast. Listen to things. Keep growing every day, and you'll have such a happy life.
Amazing, Rabbi Eli Sheller, Chazak Baruch Yishar Koach, for all that you do for Klal Yisrael. Wow, you're an inspiration.
Thank you. I'm a mirror to you.
Amazing. Continue your positivity. Amen. Continue changing the world, making the world a better place, inspiring children in Klal Yisrael. Wow. And we want to thank everyone for listening. Chazak Torah Talks every single Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, chazak.org/live, with a special thank you and shout out to all of our platforms that host Torah Talks, including Torah Anytime.
Torah Anytime.
Special
thank you
to our friends at Torah Anytime. Special thank you to Daily Giving $1. Goes a very, very far way. You're sponsoring the podcast and Chazak in general. Chazak's on a mission. No child shall be left behind. Every single Jewish child deserves a Jewish education, with a very big revolution and emphasis on getting kids from public schools into yeshivot. Over 1,500 kids already the last few years alone have been transferred. Thousands of more have been coming to after school programs, Sunday school programs, teen division programs. Our new youth center, which is a mamish, a game changer, Baruch Hashem, in Forest Hills in Queens. And we want to do a lot more, and we need everyone to get involved. Chazak.org, chazaq.org. Thank you very much. And
Kol Tov.
Amazing. Love the energy.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Shmack.